Jesus said, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Here in the book of Matthew in chapter 17, the text that Avery read, comes these words to Jesus. And this specific miracle here is one of the lessons that we are not going to be talking about during our vacation Bible school. But I want to talk about it tonight and tie in the thread, if you will, what makes this particular story about fishes, or fish, if you will, that will tie into the rest of the story so we can understand one of the major points of what these lessons are all about. Well, first of all, if you haven't noticed already, all of the stories that we're going to look at this week, all five stories, and that is beginning tomorrow with tomorrow morning, we'll talk about Jonah. Then on Tuesday, the boy with the loaves and fish. Wednesday, Peter walks on water. The great catch, part of what we discussed this morning from Luke in chapter 5, which would also include fishers of men with a combination of what we also considered this morning, Matthew in chapter 21. There's a common thread through all of those stories, and that is each one of those, there is a miracle. Now, we know miracles are not performed today. But I think the thread that we can understand is that when we listen to God and when we do what God says, God is going to bless us. That's the thread that's running through all of these. Listen to, pay attention to God's word. And when we do that, everything is going to be all right. So what I'd like to do this morning is I want to examine this story here. It only appears in Matthew's account. And it's called money in the mouth. That is, it's not something that's usual. It's not something that you'll see every day. And the miracles that we're going to look at are not miracles that can be reproduced. And this one certainly cannot be reproduced. And so here in the book of Matthew, I'd like you to, again, look at the text that was read by Avery. And so in the book of Matthew in chapter 17, the Bible tells us when they had come to Capernaum, that's chapter 17 at verse 24, Jesus and his disciples, it is, that come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax, they came to Peter. And they said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? Well, instead of going to Jesus and asking Jesus that question, they went to Peter. They were approached by these Jewish people who collected the tax. Now, this wasn't a tax to be paid to the Roman government, but this was a tax for the support of the temple. It was to be paid by all the Jewish people. It was used for the purchasing of the animals and other things that were necessary for the sacrifices that were in the temple. And of course, you can understand why people kind of despised the lawyers, the tax collectors, because they were always collecting money. Well, anyway, Peter was asked if his master would pay that tax. And I want you to notice what Peter said. He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him. In other words, this is one of the signs of the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus read his mind. Now, I know people think that they can read people's mind, but here the deity of Jesus Christ is simply revealed. The Bible says, when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him. And the Bible says, he said, well, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? And so when Jesus read this mind, he uses this as an occasion to teach the disciples a lesson. And I think the lesson is here for you and I. Because Jesus helped Peter and the disciples to see that the kings or the rulers on earth receive taxes to pay for their homes and for their children. But since Jesus was the son of the king, and we're talking about the Most High God, since he is the son of God, and that temple was God, he did not have to pay the tax for his father's temple. So Jesus did not have to pay that tax, but he decided to do so. And I think that's the lesson that we can find in this. Because sometimes there are things that we don't have to do that sometimes we may do because it may benefit others. I'm going to tell you what. Later on, Peter would look at this story and what happened, and he would recall what Jesus did. He would recall that oftentimes we do things out of duty, but sometimes it's necessary for us to do things to appeal to other people. Jesus didn't want to seem like he was a rebel. Jesus didn't want to seem like he was different from all others. He was indeed the Son of God. And the prophets had testified. There were so many prophecies and types about who Jesus was, but they rejected all of that. And so this was not an occasion for that. They didn't approach Jesus, remember? They approached Peter with the question. And so Peter, he comes to Jesus. Jesus anticipates, and so Jesus answers. And so he asked a question. That was one of the ways in which Jesus often taught. He says, from whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? And Peter said to him, from strangers. He answered correctly. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. That's a logical conclusion. And so he says, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. It's a very simple story. And again, it contains a miracle. And again, when you find people in this world who talk about miracles today, bring them to this story here. And this is a miracle that cannot be reproduced. I've been on a lot of fishing trips, and I have never been on a trip where there was money found in the mouth of a fish. Now, I know sometimes older folks will sometimes jokingly say, you know, you go out and you may fish all day, you may catch anything. And I say, well, yeah, I did catch something. I used a silver hook. And I think older folks know what I mean when I say I used a silver hook. I may not have caught anything, but I went to the seafood market and I bought some fish. That's a silver hook. But here he said, you will find the money that you need. And I think it's ironic that the exact amount of money that was needed was in the mouth of a fish. And again, so this was a miracle. And so Jesus didn't have to pay this tax. But by paying the taxes that he did not have to pay, Jesus shows that it is sometimes wise to do things that we do not have to do. And so Jesus told Peter to go fishing. And of course, Peter would remember this. He said Peter would find a coin in the mouth of a fish, and it was enough to pay the tax for both Jesus and for Peter. And the story here simply shows that God also controls the fish of the sea. And God will help us to do great things when we trust him and when we obey him. And so that's the story about the money in the mouth. It's not one of the stories that we're going to cover this week. But I want to tie that in to the other stories that we're going to look at. Our vacation Bible school, again, starts tomorrow, July the 12th through the 16th, 10 o'clock in the morning, as already announced, till 11:30 in the morning. Great fish stories of the Bible. Tomorrow, Jonah. Tuesday, the boy with the loaves and fish. Peter walks on the water, the great catch, and fishes of men. Each one of those we're going to see. There is a miracle, and of course, it reveals to us the deity of Jesus Christ, but there's going to be instructions given. We want our young people to know that when they follow the instructions that God reveals to us in the Bible, we're going to be blessed. And I think we cannot overemphasize that. Listen to, pay attention to the Bible. Now, again, we know that there are no miracles today, but these stories are here for a reason. They help us to be able to relate to something that we are familiar with. So having said that, what I would like to do is I would like to present at least four reasons or four things I think that we can take away, not only from this lesson, but hopefully this week as we begin and carry it throughout the rest of the week. One of the first things I want us to recognize is that we are looking forward to a fundamental basic event. Folks, we have been holed up, if you will, for almost an entire year. You ever thought about that? With the coronavirus. And of course, we haven't had a gospel meeting. And since last year, since there was a, I'm not sure if you had a VBS last year. I know Corona came around March. It's been a while since we had just a simple study, if you will, dedicated primarily to our young folks. And so I think many of us, especially those who, quote unquote, grew up in the church, many remember going to VBS when you were young. And I think it's easy to think that we might have outgrown those kinds of things, even though we haven't had one for a while. But to see the delight in young people, and I've been to various VBS, and I've been called in as a guest speaker. I've been a part of various VBSs. But to see the delight in those young children sitting together by age, singing out with all their might, some of them even shouting the songs. You listen tomorrow. You listen throughout the week. They're going to sing, but they're going to shout. They want you to know that their voices are being heard. And I tell you what, that's a beautiful thing. And we want them to be excited about God. We want them to be excited about the Bible. We want them to be excited about fundamental things and how good it is and how wonderful it is. And so I don't want us to underestimate how wonderful, simple things can be. And so congregations are now, after a year of being holed up, so to speak, congregations are having to think about gospel meetings. And thinking about VBS and other events, and there have been other churches that have had their VBSs already. And so adjustments and changes sometimes have to be made. Again, this be my first time. I mean, there are some things I'm kind of learning as we go on. And so I'd appreciate it if you cut me some slack, and I'll certainly cut you some slack as we work on this together, because it is fundamentally for our young people. And while our children are grown, even our grandchildren are grown, you have children here, and I want to see the delight in your children, in your grandchildren. We should all want that. It's a fundamental thing to teach children. And it's something that we should do at least once a year. Whether you want to call it VBS or whether you want to call it summer Bible studies, this is a special time for all of us to get involved. It's not just for our young people. It's for us to get involved, to show them that we enjoy doing this and helping them to learn the Bible yet even more. Second of all, the good that it does for our young people, I'm going to tell you what is amazing. You watch those little children. And some of the older ones. And you watch the smiles on their faces. And the singing. And you know, sometimes you wonder, what's going to become of these little ones? There are those of you who have seen and you've observed young people grow up within the church. Now, I know Brian and Brittany are about to leave. Their children have grown up here. I look in the directory when they had taken a pitch a long time ago. And I remember Colton was in your arms. He was just a toddler. And now he's a fine young man. And your son, he's growing up. And other young children have grown up in this place. Your children have grown up here. And there have been some basic fundamental things that have been instilled in them. I think this is a part of what the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way in which he ought to go, and you have sown principles of righteousness. And we must not stop. We must continue to do that. And this is an opportunity to do that. And while you may or may not have children here, they are our children. I want us to take ownership in that. They are ours because they are part of Pruitt and Lobit. This is the Pruitt and Lobit family. And as I mentioned this morning, we have at least about 40 young people in this assembly, not to mention those who are going to be visiting with us, your relatives, the people that you invite, the people that our young people invite. We are excited, young people, about you being here, and we are excited about, I know, the joy that it's going to bring to you, the smile that it'll put on your face, and our special time here together. And so, these songs, will this week be something that helped them to make the right spiritual choices later on in life? Think about it, folks. Some of these young folks may not be old enough yet or have reached the age of accountability to obey the gospel. But then there may be some who have reached that age and have not obeyed the gospel yet. You know, just like Proverbs, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil companions corrupt good morals. Let me tell you what, folks, good companions also influence good morals. And when our young people spend time together, and I'm going to tell you what, there are stories of young people who grew fonder relationships because they met someone, quote unquote, at church. Maybe Vacation Bible School. They befriended someone, got to know someone better. And so we are looking for good things during this week. And so will these lessons help them as they face the dark valleys in the challenging times in which we live? You know, the news is just full of events that are happening in this world that are just unpleasant. But our focus this week is going to be on the Bible. A singular theme, fish stories. Who doesn't like fish? I mean, who doesn't like fish stories? And we are going to go fishing, and we are going to go opening up our Bibles, and we're going to see how the wisdom of God is manifested in such a way that we can take lessons and tie them all in together and come up with a simple thought. Listen to God, follow the instructions God gives us, and we are going to be blessed. I can't say it any simpler. That's what all these lessons illustrate. And yes, they're miracles. And no, we cannot perform miracles. And neither can anybody else. But we can read about them. And I tell you what they can do. They can produce within us greater faith. Let me tell you what. Little hearts do listen. And I'm going to tell you something else. The prayers of moms and dads and the whole church is going to make a lasting difference. And it will stick within their hearts. And so, is good going to come from this week? Well, it all depends. Depends on what? Depends on our attitude. Depends upon how much we put into this. Depends upon how involved we get. Depends upon if, as was already prayed, if we personally pray. Pray for the meeting. Pray for our special time together. Pray for our young people. Be specific. Pray for good weather. Pray that the teachers will be able to be properly prepared so they can help their students. Pray that we can answer any questions that our young people may have. And let's pray that the efforts that we bring together with more than anything else, and this is one of the thoughts I'm going to bring up, will be for the glory of God. Number three, putting on something like VBS requires our working together. It takes a lot of hours in preparation. It takes planning. Thank you, elders, your wives who support you. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Brittany. And even though Brittany is about to leave, I don't know whether you know it or not, they have plans, of course, to leave this week. And Brittany is planning to be at least 1, maybe 2 days. When we know that you got other commitments, but we are certainly grateful that you are still willing to share in the work here at Pruitt and Lobit. You will always be family, Brittany, and we appreciate you and your good heart and what you add to the kingdom. And so it's hard work, folks, but what a wonderful way to get people together and to use their talents for the glory of God. So on this side of the pandemic, I'd like to think that the pandemic is behind us. It's great seeing people again. I'm praying that there will be visitors who come so we can see people we haven't seen for a while. Because doing VBS and doing gospel meetings is a time oftentimes you see other brethren from other places. Because we hate to miss our worship to go somewhere else. It's okay to visit every now and then. But of course, it'd be nice for them to visit with us. And so we're going to be doing things together. We're going to be praying together. If at all possible, make it a point that you can be here. I know some of us have commitments. We understand that, folks. But make it a priority in your life to be a part of Pruitt and Lobit's VBS, Vacation Bible School, Summer Bible Studies, whatever you want to call it, this special week where we will, Lord willing, come together, open up our Bibles, and we are going to be talking about fish stories from the Bible and the miracles. And don't you like a miracle? Don't you like to see the power of God manifested and try to figure out what all that means? And God's going to help us to understand that. So we can pray for understanding as well. And then last but not least, any endeavor that a church puts forth first and always is to the glory of Almighty God. We do things not to show off. We do things not to boast or even look at ourselves. We do these things to honor the Lord. We want people to leave with a sense of the Lord in their hearts. Little ones are going to learn the Bible, books of the Bible. And I hope even those of us who are older who don't know the song for the books of the Bible, that we'll learn it too. We'll learn how Jesus Christ can shape our lives and how he can give us hope in this dark and depressing world in which we live. It's wonderful to know that the pandemic did not win. It's wonderful to know that God's word is still treasured among people. It's treasured here at Pruitt and Lobin. We care about God's word. We care about people. This is an opportunity for us, if you will, to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. At least those who will come. And I'm thinking that the lessons are going to be taped. Am I correct? Or some of them going to be taped, Daniel? Maybe they will. I don't know. But at least some ears are going to be open. That's the first principle of the gospel. And so encouragement, joy, even excitement can fill the air as we come together this week for Vacation Bible School or Summer Bible Studies. And so, I certainly look forward to our special time together. I want to personally stand up and thank all of you teachers who have volunteered to spend your time, your effort, the sacrifices that you are making in preparation for the lessons, and for all of the members here, for the support that I know that you will give them, that you will give the teachers, that you will give our students, that you will give our elders and their wives, our deacon and his wife, as we work together for our VBS. I want us to remember now that we are in VBS mode. If at all, this week, folks, let your smile show. I got to make sure that I can find the song. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. You can't sing that song without a smile on your face. And when those young people sing it, well, I tell you what, they sing it out loud. And that's what we want them to do. We want them to sing out loud this week. We want voices to be raised so God can know that we love him. We love his word. We love our children. And we want our children to grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Don't you? Don't you? I hope you say yes, and I hope you can say amen to that. Now, I haven't said anything tonight about what a person needs to do in order to be saved. We're going to sing a song with the title of the song with reference to the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his blood so we can have the forgiveness of sins. He was raised from the dead so we can have the promise and the hope of everlasting life. If you are without God and without hope in your life, if you've never repented of your sins, you've never confessed Jesus Christ, you've never been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins, we always give an opportunity for people to respond to the gospel call. Jesus, as the Father also, wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is that we have sinned. And our sins separate us from God. And the only remedy is Jesus Christ. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so just like our young people saying, yes, Jesus loves me, he loves every last one of us. And yes, he loves little children who are young and innocent. But when we grow up old enough and we know the difference between right and wrong, we sin. And God's going to hold that to us until we repent, until we come to him seeking his forgiveness, that our slates can be washed clean, and that we can be born again, and we can be the kind of people that he wants us to be. And we will listen from these messages that come from heaven, do the best that we can to live by them, and of course, teach them to those that we come in contact with also. If you're a child of God in heaven, live, may these lessons inspire you to pay more attention to God, what he says, do what he says, live right before Almighty God so you can be blessed too. And so having said that, the lesson this evening is yours. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we bid you to come while together we stand and sing.